Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Oh, right. I'll let you go.
Hey, everybody. It's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and...
Dave, that's me.
And we, we're going to talk about everything the description of the podcast says we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Fuck that, man. I'm in my garage, my parents' garage.
Your parents' garage?
I'm recording from Addison, Illinois right now.
There you go.
I'm looking at a stack of my old cassette tapes. I'm going to read off what I'm picking five out right now. This is what I used to listen to.
Okay.
I was fixing my BMX bike. We got Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Mm-hmm.
We got Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. I remember buying this cassette.
Yeah, I remember buying that in fourth grade.
Yeah, we got Grand Marquis. Grand Marquis Practice. That's when I'm back in Addison, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We have one just called a ska tape. Oh, it's got Misfits of Ska. Misfits of Ska had some good stuff on there. I got a Faith No More.
Is that a compilation or is that it?
Oh, it's a compilation. Definitely a compilation. Oh,
okay. It's not a Misfits style band doing ska songs?
No, a couple bands on there did do Misfits covers, mm-hmm. I think. It was just kind of like there wasn't really rules or worrying about marketing back in the day. We're like, I will call it Misfits of Ska. Do we have to do Misfits songs? Nah, do whatever you want. Okay, here's a comp. Comp albums. I loved comp albums.
Yeah, I do too. You can always find some real obscure gems in there.
I mean, I guess that's all that Spotify is now, but there used to be a sense of discovery. But anyway, so I'm back in the garage, man. Yeah, Grand Marquis are practicing, and we sound as great as if we ever did, which means not good.
Are you practicing in that garage?
No, we actually have a practice space here.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, the drummer lined something up, but it was fun, man. I got in yesterday, and we were playing. It's gonna be a silly time. Beat Kitchen Saturday night.
Saturday night Beat Kitchen. What time you going?
In Chicago, Illinois, to be more specific. I don't know any of that stuff.
Okay.
Dude, everybody's in their 40s. Everybody's like taking breaks to stretch their backs. We'll talk about what medicines we're on. It was a whole thing, dude.
You're going to have like one of those foam back rollers in the green room.
Marco, the singer guitar, like he's had to like sit on the floor a couple times. Like, I got to do stretches. I'm like, I get it. But he drove in from New York, so he was in a car the whole time.
Man, I stretch before I do stand-up, and I don't even move much. I think it's a psychological thing. I just got to be loose and limber.
I wholeheartedly agree, man. Just having the idea that your body feels loose adds to your mind feeling loose.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I always... More so in the past, but I need to get back into it. But, like, man, 10 years ago, like, I would do, like, a whole routine. I'd do, like, a 10-minute, 15-minute stretch before every show. Like, I really had to get loose.
Yeah, dude, I do, not to sound too hippie, but I think there's definitely, like, a mind and body connection of, like, if your body's loose, then your mind's loose and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
So, I hear you on that. But, yeah, man, wow, just in this... Why does my dad have small antique jars of castor oil in here? It's just weird. It's like the garage. It's nothing's been touched in here. Yeah, nothing's been touched in here. since God knows when. I probably shouldn't be looking around at I shouldn't look at this. I don't know what I'm going to find in here.
Now, is this the house you spent your whole childhood in, or did you guys move there at some point?
My parents got this house in the early 70s, and I grew up here. Yeah, so this is
that's
the
only home you knew before you fled.
Yep, before I split before I went dream chasing.
Man, that's crazy to think about. Like, the house I grew up in, I haven't seen that house in 30 years. But, like, if I could just go back to it, that would be trippy. I mean, I know you've gone back, you know, routinely your entire life, so it's not as trippy. But still, to think that that's where 4-year-old Kyle used to play, right there.
Oh, yeah, man. There's remnants of 4-year-old Kyle. Some, like, names written in the sidewalk around here. And it's wild. Funny. I mean, well, speaking of which, like, this is an older house, I think built in the 40s, maybe. Not old, given. But no ghosts whatsoever. Kind of thought there would be. None. Old house, kind of spooky, kind of torn up basement. Mm-hmm. No ghosts. Now, what did you just tell me right before we started recording?
Dude, should I go ahead and get into this story?
I think it's Halloween right now, man. I mean, it's Halloween month. It's October.
Hell yeah, man. And this is, I promise, I'm being truthful here. The source is being truthful. But yeah, what a coincidence.
We know you don't make stuff up, Dave, because your stories would be better if you did.
Just a coincidence that I'm getting in the spooky season mode here. Like, October 1st is usually like when I really kick in. Like, you know, I kind of build up towards late September, but man, when the calendar clicks over to October, boy, it's just go time.
Oh, game on, yeah.
Dude, we've been watching so many movies and just getting the house ready. You know, Katie's big into the decorating. Anyway, what you were alluding to. All right, we talked a couple weeks ago about a ghostly encounter, or what Katie and I think is a ghostly encounter that happened here in the apartment with the power cord to the Bluetooth speaker. Okay. Now, this is straight from the horse's mouth. This happened to Katie 3 days ago. She's been spending a lot of time over at her dad's place, about 30 minutes away, just because he's elderly and his house is too big for him. And she's the maid, she's the in home help, she's the nurse, she's doing everything. Sure. So she's over there about 3 or 4 days a week. And the other day, she's in the kitchen washing dishes, and right above the sink, like many kitchens have, there's a window that overlooks the backyard. Now, you've been over there. Her dad's got a pretty sprawling estate.
Like, sizable home.
Yeah, big like Spanish-style, California-style ranch. Probably, I think the thing's like, damn, 5,000 square feet. It's a pretty sprawling thing. And the landscaping's
beautiful.
We walked
through like 4 living rooms before we got to the house.
Yeah, it's an impressive house. But point being, the backyard, big backyard, the whole property's, you know, about a 2-acre lot. So the backyard's probably about an acre, which is decent-sized backyard. And my point being, the entire backyard property is surrounded by a wall. Not a fence, but a wall. I always think that you can tell that you've jumped up a tax bracket when you graduate from fence to wall on your property. It's about an 8-foot concrete wall. So my point is, nobody can get in and out of that backyard, okay? You'd have to go through the locked gates on the side, which you need a key and all that, blah, blah, blah. So point being, no one's wandering. No neighbors are just commuting, passing through the backyard. It's completely secured, walled off. Katie's standing there washing dishes, looking out the window, and she sees an old man walk right in front of the window. She said probably about 10 feet from the window. So, you know, not deep into the rear of the property or anything, up close, 10 feet from the window. She just sees she described him as a late 60s, early 70s, white male, average height and build. Wearing just a white plain T-shirt, like an just a underwear undershirt,
sure.
Just a plain old white Hanes T-shirt, kind of little balding, but just walked by really fast. Like she said, she saw him for about 2 seconds, and it startled her because she didn't know who the guy was. She hollered at her dad, you know, "Hey, is someone else here?" He said no, and then she ran outside to get a closer look, and the guy was gone. So she just saw him walk, and she said he was moving real fast, like faster than what an old man would walk. Okay. And she said it was crystal clear. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a foggy, you know, figure. There was no transparency. That's the word I was looking for. She said it looked, you know, just like a normal human being, but he was an old guy walking faster than an old guy would walk. And when she, 3 seconds later, when she ran out the side door right there to investigate, he's nowhere to be found. In the backyard, it's completely secured and walled off. There's no way an old guy's just hopping in, hopping out. So there you go. And she was sober. She wasn't high. It was the middle of the day. And
so,
yeah, man,
we're not going with trespasser on this one. We're going right to ghost.
No, she's 100% sure. There's no way it could have been a trespasser, because literally, he'd have to either have a key.
There's a more of a likelihood that it's a ghost.
Well, and I know that sounds crazy because, you know, in theory, trespasser seems very plausible. But seriously, you'd have to have a key, or you'd have to be able to scale an 8-foot concrete wall, which an old guy's not going to be able to do that. And even if it was a human back there, she was out the door in 2 or 3 seconds. Like, he wouldn't have been able, even though she did say he was moving fast, but I doubt, first of all, he wouldn't be able to scale the wall, but I doubt, even if he could, that he could even get to the edge of the property.
And obvious stuff, it was not her dad, of course.
Was not her dad. He was in the living room because she shouted at him. She said, "Hey, Dad, do you have company?" Because, you know, people do stop by. You know, he's got the pool guy and he's got a lawn maintenance guy, but it wasn't any. It was no service people. It was no friends. It was no neighbors.
It was daytime.
So, daytime. She saw it crystal clear. Didn't look, you know, transparent. Just looked like a human being. And she's like, "Dad, who's that in the backyard?" And he's like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
All right.
And she said he was moving. She described it as if he was moving, like he was on a walking or a moving sidewalk. You know how when you're in the airport or something, it's how cool you can walk so fast.
Well, she said gliding.
It felt like he was gliding, like he was on a moving sidewalk, and he was walking way too fast. He wasn't running. You know, his stride, his gait was that of a walk, but he was moving much quicker than a 70-year-old man should be able to walk.
All right.
So there you go. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Some weird, weird, wild stuff out there.
Little backstory on the house. I think the house is about 20, 25 years old. I think it was built around the turn of the century. It just sounds funny. And I think her dad's the third owner. So we don't know. I mean, obviously, I think he knew who the person he bought it from. I don't know any crazy backstory there. I don't know who the first owner was. But, yeah, so there you go. And, yeah, so in her family, no one has passed away or, you know, any tragedies in that house. But I don't know what has happened before. He's dad's been there. Granddad's been there about six years.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Orange County indigenous population is like.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, weird stuff.
Katie seems to be susceptible to these things.
Yeah, and just to a backstory there, we talked about this when it happened years ago, but it's not the first ghost Katie's seen. About 4 or 5 years ago, right before we got back together, this would have probably been late 16, early 17, she's just hanging out in her apartment, and middle of the day, she's making a smoothie, and she was living alone, you know, before I moved in. And she looks up, and there's like a teenage boy dressed in 70s clothing with a 70s haircut just sitting on her couch peacefully. And she, like, you know, got wide-eyed, and she tried to speak to it. She was like, "Oh, hello." And then she looked down to grab her smoothie, looked back up, and it was gone. But, again, looked like a human being, not an apparition.
She got that intuition. They know that, they know that she's a pliable source.
It's crazy. She's a communicator. She's not... Because she's not into much of this stuff at all. Like, you know, I can't talk to her about ghosts and Bigfoot. I mean, she, you know, she's a good sport, but it's not like she's into it or has always been one of the, you know.
No, it's a struggle
or anything like
that. Yeah, it's a struggle to maintain any type of sexiness as the man that I am. I'm not going to start introducing supernatural shit in and like just whittle away what little I have. That remains attractive to Rachel. I'm not going to be like, "What if aliens Oh, yeah. Really? Time travelers? Like, no, let's leave that.
Yeah.
Let's leave my unsexy hobbies for myself.
But yeah, like her eyewitness testimony, you know, honestly carries more weight than mine because I want to see this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see a ghost. I want to see a big. She's indifferent. She's like, eh, whatever. But yeah,
no, anytime the people that want to see it, I'm like, no, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
All the tools are fake. All this stuff's fake. It's just going to happen to people that I think are born with a higher, you know, sensitivity to that kind of stuff. I think we've always talked about that. Some people, I think, are just, some people are more sensitive to light. Some people are allergic to things, almost like it's like an allergy. Like, oh, I don't have a defense against seeing ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about it. So that's, you got, just going to have to deal with these stories now. You're marrying into that intuitive lifestyle now. That's going to be fun, nuts, that you want to see it, you never get to see it, and she's like, shit, I saw it again. Do I let Dave know?
Yeah.
Do I disappoint Dave by telling him I see ghosts every day?
Wouldn't that be crazy, though? Like, if you, like, either one of those stories. But
just her telling you, like, Dave, there's ghosts everywhere, and you're like, fuck it, there's nothing. I'm home alone. Like, no, there's ghosts there.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine, like, you know, there's always, you know, the corner of your eye, you know, weird shadows. But to just look across your apartment and there's a teenage boy, crystal clear, sitting on your couch. And you're like, what? Hello?
No goddamn teenagers in my house.
And then he's gone. Then he just disappears.
Feet on the furniture kind of shit. Eating my snacks? Man. No. Unacceptable. Dude, that's something you got going on there.
Yeah.
That is the indigenous people of Orange County is still just a rich old white dude in a undershirt wandering onto somebody else's shit without caring. That is Orange County. Yeah, there's an oil spill off the coast of Orange County. Where are your protests now, Orange County? You guys got your no masks, like proof of no vaccine required restaurants and your fucking riots that you have during surf contests. Now you got an oil spill. What are you doing now, Orange County? Jack shit. Okay. Sorry. I'm a little spicy. I get a little spicy when I'm back in Addison.
Oh, man. Man, speaking of Orange County, just this morning, I didn't see this in Orange County. It drove right by my house, but it's a very Orange County thing.
For the people that don't know, Orange County is basically whatever the richest, whitest suburb is around where you live, that's Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know what a slingshot, what do you call it, a Polaris slingshot? You know what I'm talking about, those three-wheeled open-air, open-hood vehicles? There was a gang of 10 of them that drove by today. I guess Monday morning's the Long Beach slingshot meetings.
Man, I think those are like those electric Lime scooters. Like, I bet they're real fun to use. But as an like observing somebody, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen in the world.
Oh man, I rock those Lime scooters, dude, and I look.
Do you?
I'm sure. I'm always self conscious when I'm on them. I'm like,
as long as you're in the bike lane. If you're on the sidewalk, get bent.
Oh yeah, get
I
off.
Will not
get
move
off.
For you if you're on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had people like skid out in front of me because I'm like, I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bike lane, or ride them and do what you're supposed to do with them, but.
Yeah.
Then I've used them once or twice and like, I get it. I understand the appeal. I just, it's like good. It's like less cars and it's good for people that need to commute, but can't walk. Like I see the benefits. I just, they were abused more than I saw them used properly. Yeah. But yeah, those slingshot things, I'm sure there's something fun. I'm sure they corner well and they're sport. They just, it always looks like whoever's in it is just so desperate to have attention paid to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, Jesus Christ, man. We're doing the band thing and, like, looking through old pictures. I think I needed to have a cigarette in every picture that was taken of me from 18 to fucking 30.
Oh, it was a conscious choice? Like, hold on, let me grab my cigarette?
Just so desperate. So desperate, Dave.
You cool guy.
So desperate to be cool. Like, I tried. It was so pathetic, man.
That's funny.
I tried so hard, dude. Every picture, I had some fucking pose or something. It's I mean, like, I'm laughing at it, but holy shit. The fact that that's I did not get the shit smacked out of me more is
that's
amazing.
The punk rock version of, like, the young jock flexing in every picture, but pretending he's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm just yoked up, dude. I'm just yoked.
Yeah. Yeah, you. I could see that you're. You, why don't you calm down there, Hercules? So,
you know, all the football pictures or anything when they have the individual ones, they all have to look as hard as fuck. You know, mm-hmm. And there's I forget where somebody got this picture from, but it was like they had the pictures on banners around the football field, and one kid's picture was just him pouring syrup on pancakes.
That's funny.
And I was like, this dude. Like, it's still the same, like, way the photograph was for, but he's pouring syrup on some bag. I'm like, this guy. Like, to know how to, like, when to do a joke that young.
Yeah.
Because as much as I thought it was funny, like, that's a level of comedy and commitment to a bit where I'm like, oh, that's good. Like, good for you. Good for you for recognizing that.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah. Cause you're right. Like every single, I took those same pictures myself. But there's no way a teenage football player boy is getting his team photo in his uniform made and not going to try to look tough.
Yeah, you see the one guy who's smiling. You're like, I like him.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for him. You know what? He's a good enough player that he's confident and he doesn't have to look scary.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna do more. He might play college ball, but he's also gonna be a doctor. I like this guy. Sports therapist. Give him sports therapy. Yeah. But especially like high school football, like, no, mine's going to be funny. Because what was the biggest extent of that comedy? It was like, there's a pep rally and the football players are going to put on a cheerleader's uniforms and be the ladies. That'll be the funny thing. I mean, I'm sure they don't.
What do they call it? Powder
can't
puff.
Do that anymore. Yeah. Probably can't do that anymore. But
yeah, probably not. I don't know.
Which, good. It was stupid anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
Did you do it? Did you dress up like a lady?
I think I did.
Just recreationally, not even for this, just in general. Trying something silky.
I did. Yep.
You're getting there, Dave. You're getting into fashion. You're just texting me shirts at random now.
Sent you another shirt today.
Yeah.
I'm beefing up my Hawaiian shirt game. So, yeah, man.
It's working for you living in Long Beach, walking the streets at night.
Yeah, man. Dude, officially this morning. Nice little milestone, officially down 50 pounds.
There you go, man. Good on you, buddy.
Nice, clean, round number, yeah.
Good on you.
Only got 75 more to go, but hey, that's a start.
I ate a whole pizza last night.
A whole pizza?
I got back to Addison. I had to have a Nardi's.
Nardi's. Tell me about Nardi's. It sounds
good. It's just classy. It was also right next to the practice space. So I was like, I'll pick that up. I'll bring it over, see if the guys had like maybe one or two pieces, but I ate the whole thing pretty much.
Nardi's. What
hell of a name, Nardi's.
Yeah, that's a great name. Thin crust, what kind of crust are you doing
thin
there?
Thin crust, square cut.
Okay.
Jardiniere mushroom.
Ooh.
I'm getting everything I get when I get back here. I can't have my hot dogs or anything anymore. So I still get my pizza. Mm-hmm. I'll probably drink this week, I'll be honest. It's been about 7 weeks. I'm probably gonna have drinks this week.
Do it, buddy. You've earned it.
You know? I think I want to.
That's a hell of a break for you, and I'm not being condescending.
No, it is. Well,
for you, that's a hell of a break.
And weird enough too, being back here in the place, like in the house that I got yelled at for being stoned, and now my mom's like, "Oh, we got coupons for the new weed shop down the street." So I went there today.
Does your mom mess around with any of that?
She was getting on the CBD. I wish she would.
Good for her.
She would benefit. The neighbors, we got young neighbors here.
Yeah,
and they're into it. She's like, I gave them the coupon, but I'll get it back. Like, no, let them keep the coupon, now. Can't Indian give the coupon?
Mothers love coupons.
Oh, God, that's what she gave them. You guys like the weed. Here's a coupon for it. Oh, I need my son's here. I need the coupon back.
I never ate a meal out at a restaurant as a child without being involved in some sort of discount coupon scam lie. Just meaning like
wow, that's like, well, that took a turn for the more interesting, Dave. Let's go.
Coupons, maybe not
those
a scammer,
those are
like,
one of the scams.
No, I just remember meaning, like, I always had to pretend I was ordering a different thing. Like my mom would be like, all right, we got to buy one, get one half off, but it's the combo, and I know you don't want – I don't like fries, but I know you like fries, so you order the a la carte burger. I'll get the combo. I'll give you my fries. And there was just always some, like, script or story I had to remember.
Well, especially if, like, growing up with a family on a budget, too, it's like that stuff – did all add up, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We used to go to a place called, back then it was called Po Folks, and I think there was some controversy years later, and they changed it to Folks. But seriously, Po Folks, it was like, I don't know how to, it was kind of like a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
You know, I dug it. It was, you know, just chain Southern cooking. But they used to have a deal, like kids under six ate free.
Yeah,
and I remember we'd go there like once a week, and you'd get a fried chicken leg and a side of fries, and as long as, like, you know, free with an adult purchase or whatever. So yeah, we'd go there and like every week, and I'd just eat free fried chicken.
And you were six until you were 10, probably, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Big for his age.
Yeah,
I remember. Getting
I don't know. Do restaurants? I don't have kids. I wonder if restaurants still do any of that, like, you know, kids eat free.
I'm sure there's a place. Yeah, I'm sure that's still going on. I remember we used to be able to go on vacation because, you know, my dad worked for the airline. So even if we weren't swimming in cash, we still got to go on a summer vacation every year because we could, like, fly for free, you know?
That's awesome.
And then he would get all the travel discounts on the spot. So we would go, we went to Jamaica. I was real excited, but, like, I had to be, I think it was 10, it must have been 12 or under. Mm-hmm. Was like, that's how you got this discount, but I had turned 13. I was, like, proud, like, I'm finally a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what, that's the end of 8th grade?
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Or end of 7th grade, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my mom's like, if you cannot tell people you're 13, you cannot, we'll get in. Someone, like, they're gonna kick us out of the resort. That's a conspiracy. And then I'm like, we're on the bus to go to, like, to get to the resort from the airport, and I was like making friends with some kids. Like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 13. Thinking of a cold. I was like, shut up. Like, what? Yeah, he's a fucking spy. He's a narc for the resort. They put him on here just to make sure that the age limit isn't being broken.
Oh man.
But also, I mean, I could see doing the same thing. You're gonna save a bunch of money.
Yeah. Why not? Why not, dude? You want to talk some movies? I watched some Halloween or spooky movies. Maybe not Halloween movies.
Let's talk about them.
But maybe before the spooky movies, should we get into Many Saints of Newark? We both watched that the other night.
I don't know what I watched.
Yeah.
I watched a bunch of stereotypes dance around for 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Well, I didn't know the relation to the show as much.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I did watch the series, but, like, I, you know, a part of this is on me. I was like, kind of, Rachel's out or something. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do a movie. And I was flipping around too much. I'm like, oh, well, let's watch this thing. So I didn't have a lot of heart in it to begin with. And then I also just didn't give a shit. Like, how many more of these mafia things can we make? I don't think we need any more.
Yeah, but it's the connection. It's the Sopranos connection. People loved it so much. It's been so long. People are thirsty for it. I mean, yeah, if that was just, I'll admit, I think it was good, not great. If that was just a movie, it would have been like, I'd have been like, this is a C-plus movie.
Yeah.
But because it's the Sopranos connection, I think so many fans were just, you know, ready to gobble it up. But
I thought it was good.
I think the obvious problem is we're comparing a 2 hour movie, and it's we meaning Sopranos fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're comparing a 2 hour movie to a 86, you know, episode series, and you're just not gonna, you know, it's been so long, everybody's so thirsty for some sort of reunion or some, even though there's a prequel. But and I think they just try to squeeze too much in. You know, a couple of storylines that you just, I was just like, what do I care?
I honestly,
story?
I watched it, already forgot it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was, the violence I thought was good. The thing, I don't want to spoil anything, but the thing with the drill, you remember that? I mean, that was unique and terrifying.
Oh, wait, here, spoiler alert, everybody, so turn it off for a minute. What? Yeah, I already forgot what happened.
Oh, okay. They kind of took a page out of the Casino playbook where the main character, Dickie, was roughing somebody up. I forgot who it was. Somebody owed him money or something. Oh, it was the black guy's cousin or brother. Anyway, they grabbed the dude.
I can't believe I just watched this in the last week and I remember absolutely none of it. That's how little of an impression this movie made on me.
The scene where they grab that dude, they throw him on the table, much like in Casino, where they throw him on a table and then put his head in a vise. Instead of putting his head in a vise, they put a fucking power drill in his mouth.
Oh, yeah, they get the teeth.
That was one
of
the gnarliest violent scenes I've ever seen. Just the thought of a drill clanking around your fucking mouth.
Yeah, that was a lot.
And then the Ray Liotta thing. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but, you know, that was... At first, I was like, oh, shit, Ray Liotta's dead. So I'll leave that at that. But that was interesting. I mean, I thought it was good, but...
Do you ever wonder gang guys, like, nobody starts off... You have, like, how tough it's got to be, like all the mafia guys, like, well, those guys, they did a drill in his mouth. We got to do something crazier now. Like, if they're frustrated that they have to keep doing crazier shit... Like, what? Like, we can get this job done just by breaking fingers. Like, why does creativity, like, do you think those things really happen? Or are these filmmakers trying to build up what these guys? Because, like, honestly, if I'm a violent person and I want to get secrets out of somebody, like, is there another guy that's there that's just cleanup?
Probably, because
think about it. Like, if you're making the mess, and now the new guy's got to be like, "Oh, I got to clean up all these teeth now." I swear,
they do that.
Yeah,
with disposing of the body. One guy will kill him, and then they, you know, they tell his henchmen, "Hey, go get rid of this guy."
But you could dispose guys. You shot him in the head as they put the plastic down. I like the neat Italians that are like grandparents, which is still plastic down and everything. Like they know they're gonna make a mess. But I wonder what's the gestation of, like, why these crimes got so horrifically more creative. Like, at one point, like, you watch these, like, it's like fucking Saw movies. It's like, you just want a secret out of somebody. Start cutting their fingers off or something.
Yeah.
I don't understand if they're bored with the technique. Or, like I said, the guy who's got to clean it up is like, man, once I make it to that level... Either they're like, I'm not going to do this to the guy below me because this is mean. Or they're like, I'm going to do some even crazier shit. Like, just to prove to yourself, like, to the other guys, look at this crazy thing I did. I'm like, fucking calm down.
Some of it's probably just availability. You know, if I'm a violent crime boss maniac and I'm torturing somebody and there just happens to be a drill with an arm's reach on that table over there, I'll probably grab that.
It's called organized crime. Why aren't you why are you taking a person to a place to get secrets out of them? You're like, oh geez, I gotta improvise.
No, I'm just saying he might have was just gonna rough him up with his fist and then he saw the fucking drill. But also it might be like, if you're trying to get info out of me, the threat of breaking my fingers isn't that scary. But when you grab that drill and give it a squeeze, then I'm like, oh, shit, what did you want to know? You know, maybe the threat of it. Maybe, like, I don't want to have to use this, but goddamn it, I will if you don't tell me what I need to know.
True,
as opposed to I'm going to break your finger. I'm like, fuck you.
True. Well, it's like, any Mexican journalist looking into the gangs, they're all just hung from street posts. Like, God damn it, you guys.
Fucking ruthless.
Yeah, that's a line of thinking I wasn't happy to go down. Because now I'm in the garage here, like, all right, let's say I got to get secrets out of a guy. Well, I got a lot of yard equipment. I got two Craftsman hedge trimmers. I don't know why there's two. Mm-hmm. One's got a battery, but it looks like the battery's charged up. That's probably why. It's probably better than the plug-in one, depending on where you got the guy laying down, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have the guy laying on a table and cord's not long enough on the hedge trimmer. I got to go find an extension cord. Now this guy's thinking he's not going to tell the secrets.
No, I agree with the fingers, though. I think that's probably the most effective and discreet and easiest cleanup. Get you a pair of hand pruners, like the little clippers you'd use to kind of prune a rose bush or something.
Oh, I'm like, they're not called that. That's not what they're for. I'm like, oh,
no,
handheld pruners. I'm like, pruners to cut parts of the hand off. I'm like, that's not...
No, the that's one that you hold with your hands, opposed to like an electric version.
Just imagine seeing like the Italian guy in a jumpsuit in an Ace Hardware. I'm looking for like, you know, like a hand pruner, something that like a finger would fit in. Not that that's what I'm doing with it, but you know what I'm talking about.
You think this would cut off a toe?
It's a guy in a velour tracksuit in the home and garden section of a Walmart. No, I'm not. I'm not looking to spend a lot. This is a one and done kind of job. Oh, trust me, these are going to end up at the bottom of a lake. Don't worry, I don't need the warranty on it. But anyway, yeah, I can't believe I watched that movie and retained none of it. It made no impression on me because, like, I watched The Sopranos and I thought it was good. You know, I was like, I'm going to watch this whole series, but. You as a fan, you thought it was an okay movie.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, like I said, if it didn't have anything to do with Sopranos, I would think it's probably fairly mediocre. But no, it was neat. I mean, the one obvious thing that a lot of fans quickly point out is the Silvio character was just a bit cartoonish and over the top, especially before he got his wig. It almost felt like a Dick Tracy movie. Remember that? Was it Dick Tracy in the late 80s where everybody had these exaggerated features and prosthetic makeup?
Who was Silvio in The Sopranos? Is that Little
Silvio
Stevie?
Little Steven Van Zandt, his character.
Oh, okay.
Who I love, that character. But the his version in this movie was just a little distracting.
There was a lot of caricatures. That's what I think. I thought it felt like a lot of caricatures. It felt like they were making fun of Italian, like, mafia movies at points.
Yeah, it might have been. But, I mean, the main character, the guy who played Dickie Moltisanti, I thought he was great. I don't know that actor. I never noticed him before, but he was awesome. The big hype is Gandolfini's real-life son played a younger him, and let's just say you could tell he's not a trained actor, but, you know, maybe they overlook a little bit of that just for the physical similarities, the resemblance. But
he's a chubbier fellow,
I thought he did okay. Yeah, I mean, he was probably a little pudgy, but
I thought he was all right.
And then Tony's mom, that actress I've always liked, Vera Farmiga, something like that. She's been in
stuff. She's good. She's great. Always good and stuff, yeah.
She was great as Olivia Soprano. Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought it was good. I think they just tried to do too much. Like the whole storyline with the black rival gang or something. Like, I don't know. I think my problem, and this is kind of obvious, I didn't care about any character that I didn't know from the show. And I know that's a little short-sighted, but it's just like you got all these stories and characters that we already know and love. Let's dabble with that. Don't give me new characters, but oh well. I thought it was pretty good. Anyway, so we saw that. Let's get to some scary stuff. I watched three scary movies this weekend.
What'd you watch? What are we on?
And two of them were good. I'll give you the bad one first. I watched a movie called Raccoon Valley, and the trailer looked good.
Raccoon
and the premise
Valley.
Seemed good, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a whole bunch of nothing. Good setup, good premise, could have been great. A whole bunch of nothing, really disappointing, almost nothing of an ending. And then at the very end, like one of the first credits they roll is something, our production budget was $175. Okay, maybe tell me that at the beginning. Like, okay, that's good, like... But that's like saying, hey, come eat our hamburgers. We make them in 3 seconds.
They wanted you to be impressed afterwards. Like, you did all that?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe that was the point. Like, hey, can you believe that only cost? But like, yeah, I kind of do believe that. Because
What was the premise of Raccoon Valley?
Raccoon Valley, there's some sort of evacuation. A plane crashes. And it releases some sort of virus or something is going around, and this whole city's being evacuated. Problem is, our main character's deaf. It's this lady who's deaf, and she's just hanging out in her house doing stuff, and then slowly starts to figure out that chaos is going on around her. And then I think maybe the virus, it has an effect on certain people, kind of turns them into these weird zombie-like folks. And she just runs across two or three of these infected zombie-like folks. And, she gets scared, and I think one of them chases her a little bit. But then the movie ends. Nothing really happens. So it was just like, well, hey, but it only cost $175.
Yeah, there's $175 bucks right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No special effects.
Yeah, so that was a little disappointing. But I saw two that I enjoyed. Don't Breathe. I watched that, not necessarily like a more of a thriller than a horror movie, but a pretty damn good thriller. Some nice twists and turns.
Oh, no, I was saying Last Breath is the one that I watched.
Yeah. Don't Breathe, real short synopsis. This trio of young petty criminals in Detroit find a house to rob, and then twists and turns and chaos ensues.
I did see that one.
Pretty solid. Like I said, not a traditional horror movie, but a good thriller.
Isn't it that they got the guy there, they broke into a house, and there's a guy in the house?
And he's blind.
He's blind. Yes, I did see that one. I thought that one was good.
Yeah. But, yeah, good twist and turns there. And then the last one I'll talk about, I watched this one and really enjoyed the shit out of this one. Mm-hmm. Super entertaining. Boy, towards the end, all the craziness that happens. Drag Me to Hell. Thought that was fantastic.
And that's the one, the gal's working at a bank and she denies a gypsy a loan, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
there
dude.
You go.
I saw that's that one. Setup. I saw that one in very mixed attended screening, which is by mentioning that because that's not usually how I'd see movies. I'd either see them here in suburban Addison growing up, which is all white kids, or I go see them in Los Feliz, where it's like all white kids. Or was your white, you know, hipsters in the east side of LA. But I went and saw Drag Me to Hell like just like a Friday night date night. Everybody's out to check it out, and it was the best way to see that movie.
Oh, I bet, I bet. I love that energy.
I just I don't know if it's and it was just like black people, Latino people, and everybody like getting scared at a scary movie and laughing about it. Like that's what it's there for, is to be enjoyed that way, not all stifled with your no. Have fun, like not interrupting the movie, but yelling back at it, like "fuck this!" Like I was, like and I, because that's what I want to do in those movies. You know, you're having a few beers in the parking lot. You want to get in there. You want to have a great time for the amount of money you spent at a scary movie, and I did for that one. It was a great time. I'm glad you liked that movie.
Yeah, man, especially the ending. I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but some of the not just special effects, but just some of the ideas, like. I won't spoil anything, but the cat there at the end and just some of that stuff.
Here's a quick spoiler.
The seance scene is what I'm saying. That whole scene, holy shit.
I'm going to have to watch that one again. Because the part I remember that everybody lost their shit at, spoiler right now, mute it if you need to. Like one of the gypsies like throwing up on her.
Oh my God.
Dude, people in the theater were losing their fucking mind. It was hilarious.
I thought that was one of the grossest things I've seen until about 20 minutes later.
It was so gross. In the whole theater. It was just, no, fuck this. It was awesome.
That was awful. That was awful. But you know what got me even worse? This, spoiler again, the scene where she goes to the lady's wake and then bumps into the coffin. And the corpse lands on top of her, and all this bile and formaldehyde or whatever, she comes out of the corpse's mouth and lands on her face. I thought I was going to puke. That's the closest I've come to puking from watching a movie.
Dude, it did such a better job than like the Saw movies or the Hostel movies.
Yeah.
It did such a better job at that kind of stuff for me. I really thought this movie would have gotten more hype when people start talking about scary movies.
Yeah. I mean, this is because everything you want, or everything I want in a scary movie. It's got everything.
It's scary. It's fun, though. It's gross. That one I thought would get. I saw that one when it came out. I'm like, this is fantastic. And it just never gets the hype when people start talking about scary stuff.
Yeah, it was great. I love the lead actress, Alison Lohman, I think is her name. She's I loved her in Matchstick Men, and she was also in Big Fish. But I really like her, and she just crushed it. Like, she was a great lead. Every scene. I tell you who bores the shit out of me, Justin Long. He's fine. He's just like guy number one. Like, we need a guy. In our movie.
Oh, he knows. I think he's aware that that's who he is.
Yeah, he bores the shit out of me. But I mean, he was fine. Do it, buddy. Do it. Ugh. Nice face fart.
Huffing some old dust in the garage here.
But yeah, that's one of the best scary movies I've seen in a long time.
Cause yeah.
I think I've said before, like, I love the theory of a scary movie, but so many of them, just some, I can't put my finger on it, but so many of them just don't hit with me because just the pacing and just some of it's predictable.
Or they don't know how to end them.
Mm-hmm. But man, this scratched all the right itches.
What do I got to start making notes of what I'm watching. I watched Last Breath.
Now, what's that about?
Because what was the name of the one you watched? Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
Yeah. This one, well, I might have been talking about it last week. I don't remember if I was. Daniel Van Kirk recommended it to me.
Okay.
He was doing the Pen Pals podcast. Okay, if I was mentioning it. Yeah, it's about deep sea divers.
Right.
And the ship. Yeah. Okay, was I talking about it on the show already then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I watched that. And then what else did I watch last week? I watched some miniseries about just another religious cult that had weight loss. I honestly feel like they're really trying to churn out these expose things. And it's just like, yeah, here's a wacky lady who's saying, here's weight loss, and it's also tied to Jesus, and give me your money. Okay, that's a scam. I mean, from 10 years old, I know watching these people on late night TV is a scam. Mm-hmm. There's really not any amazing revelations coming out that these people are full of shit. Like, it's like, there's nothing super secret about any of this. Like, they're just con artists. Con artists mm-hmm. posing as evangelists. Like, okay, that's, you know, as old as the idea of organized religion, people bilking you mm-hmm. out of your money for that stuff. It's just sad that it still works on people. This one just worked because the lady was, like, extra nutty looking.
Oh, really?
Like take Tammy Faye Baker and, like, take a picture of Tammy Faye and Xerox it on a machine where the toner levels are off. and move the photocopy around while it's being, like, yeah, the hair, like, and then part of it too, like, I think these people know that the more ridiculous they look, the more people will pay attention to it. Like, I don't think, I think it's strategic. Like, there's a sign, like, one of the highways in Oregon you go by, it's like, fresh sweet cron. They spelled corn wrong. Nobody knows that. I'm sure they did it on purpose. You're like, oh, I'm talking about it now. I think people do that shit on purpose to mm-hmm. move the product along. So even though the fact that this lady looks nuts, I think she's consciously doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks fucking stupid. But, I mean, if people are just sending you thousands of dollars every day, yeah, I'll look stupid.
What was the name
of
that documentary?
I don't even remember. It's one of those, like, she's the thumbnail. You'll stop on it because you're like, what's this bitch all about? And you're like, oh, it's an evangelist weight loss
program. Did you see...
Because God wants you to be skinny, by the way, Dave. So you are walking in the path of the Lord by losing weight right now.
Absolutely. I'm on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
Did you see the documentary that's out recently? I think it's on Hulu, about the LuLaRoe leggings pyramid scheme.
Oh, yeah. I watched that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Fun fact, Katie's dad, where the property in the house that Katie grew up in, he sold that house and that property to that couple, to those people.
Oh, really?
And then, I think for a while it was their headquarters for the LuLaRoe, and then maybe they moved it. But yeah, those are the people he sold his. He had a big orchard, big house up on a hill, like 40 acres of avocados and oranges and pomegranate, shit like that. But they're the ones that bought it. And those pyramid schemes, that's, watching that one. And she's like, yeah, some of our team leaders were making $29,000 a week. It's just like, good Lord, how many people are you fucking over to get that income?
And if I do get to a point where I'm like, what's the difference between an MLM and a pyramid scheme is that you don't have to buy anything to participate in an MLM. MLM. So therefore that's why it's legal. It's like, as long as you're not required to purchase anything to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, like, just to try to empathize with the people that do get into that stuff though, I can understand, like, you're sitting at home, you got however many kids, you know, more especially with that kind of stuff, it was like women's wear. So they're targeting housewives that were stuck at home. And you're like, oh, I can try and make money from being around. But yeah, unless you're in early, you're screwed, but they make it seem great.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying, like, I don't think everybody's stupid that falls for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everybody's just trying to. It's the promise of money. Everybody's trying to fucking make fun of somebody doing an MLM scheme, but then every comedian with podcast equipment is just looking at the few that made money off of it, going, that might be me. That might be me. Yeah. You can't win unless you don't play. A little lotto mentality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't. Trying to be a stand-up, like, I have to excuse a lot of people's ridiculous efforts at making themselves happy. Because that's what we did. We took a fucking long shot.
Yeah.
So I have to extend some allowance.
That's a good way to look at it.
I'm trying to be positive, man. Trying to be positive, Dave.
Oh boy. So what's on the agenda today? You got band practice later?
Band practice every night this week. It's gonna sound
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, as our motto was back in the day, it's not talent, but it's entertainment. There's going to be a lot of banter, a lot of stage banter, a lot of chit-chatting. So,
Awesome.
Beat Kitchen's a cool bar, too, so it'll be fun to just hang out at one of the few places that are still in Chicago that I remember. So,
well, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we're playing with a band called Boris the Sprinkler, old heads
That's
from Green
name.
Bay. Yeah, they were real fun.
It's a great band name.
Yeah, they were just... The dude used to wear, like, a football helmet with elk antlers sticking out of the side. We'd just jump around all crazy. That was a fun. I put on a fun show, man. It was always a good show, so it's going to be fun. See how age has slowed everybody else down. But that's it, man. Banging around the burbs. Kind of wish I had a kayak.
Banging around the burbs.
They got the creek. I was trying to park over by Salt Creek. I know we were going to talk about maybe a little bit of spooky stuff here.
Yeah, do you want to? I want to do a deep dive. Should we just save it till next week?
You want to do a deep dive on this bullshit you sent me?
I do. Oh, it's a fun topic. Yeah, so
I'm going to give him a teaser.
Yeah,
I read the. let me just read the article.
Sure.
Because that I read that, and I'm like, oh, this is rich. So we want to discuss, I think, did we discuss the beast? Can I tell the topic?
Yeah, of course. But yeah, we'll get deeper into it next week. But yeah, I want to talk about the Beast of Bray Road. Basically it's the same thing, but we've discussed the Michigan Dogman. So this is the Wisconsin version of the Michigan Dogman, basically.
Yeah, this is two states where a lot of grown men sit in the woods drinking beer. And so I'm going to read the quote from what you sent me. This is from WisconsinFrights.com.
Uh-huh.
So there's a reader sent in this image, a reader named Danny Morgan. Uh-huh. And he wrote this message along with a photo, or just, of course, a blurry photo of something. Hey, I took this photo Saturday night in Elkhorn, north of Lake Geneva, after hitting a couple bars with my buddy, Morgan wrote. I told my brother I saw a wolf run across the road on its hind legs. Figured a full moon just causes animals to act weird, or I scared it, but he said they're werewolves in Elkhorn. Morgan said he thought he was on Weeks Road, but that he, quote, kind of got lost after I dropped my buddy off and just went north till I found 43. This is the message he said. Here's an accompanying photograph of a human wolf hybrid. Also, yeah, I was a little lost after I dropped my buddy off. Kind of just drove around till I hit the interstate. This guy has 2 gallons of Linen Kugels in him, and his F-350 dually was half off the road for the entire drive.
Oh my God! I love Linen Kugel.
This guy was on a snowmobile without any snow in sight. It was his only mode of transport. It can't get me with a dually on this thing. This thing will cut across a plowed field, snow or not. Shit, you not?
Fucking loophole.
Fucking come get me, fuckers.
But yeah, we'll get into that next week. I think it deserves more oh, time. Oh, yeah. Sink our teeth into it.
It sure does.
It's fascinating. Fascinating. Fuck it. Dude.
The beast is in like half the picture, like it's photobombing the thing.
I'll just say this. I believe in Bigfoot. I believe that Bigfoot is some sort of descendant variation, you know, from the ape family. Why is it outside the realm of possibility? There could be some sort of similar version with a canine, with some sort of, you know, whatever. Wherever it came from.
Well,
like,
this is saying it's a werewolf versus saying it's just a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big point here with Michigan Dog Man and Beast of Bray Road and all these, it's the bipedal. It's not just a big old weird wolf.
Somebody
People
sent
are
me
seeing
a video,
it on 2 feet.
Somebody sent me a video of like a goat walking on its back legs, and that sucked. It sucked to see because it was so scary. It was like a black goat. Yeah. It was a real like Black Phillip type of thing walking on its hind legs.
Speaking of which, that goat they whipped out in Drag Me to Hell. Anytime there's a goat in a horror movie, that's always a plus.
These like, poor goats. You ever hung out with goats? They're sweet as hell, man.
I want a goat. If I ever have land, I'm going to just have a few goats. And I want the little short ones that do parkour. That'd be cool.
I mean, I think those are just baby goats.
Yeah, they just fucking bounce around. They look so excited.
And that's your lawn maintenance.
I think they're having fun. Yeah, there you go. I'd love to have a few goats. I'd love to have just a couple of cows.
Cows seem like work. I'm talking chickens. I think we might get... I don't know. We can't have them in Beaverton, but in Portland you can have some chickens. Our friends got some chickens.
Really?
Yeah. So I might get down with that. I don't know if Dirtnap would be opposed to him or be a protector. I'm not sure. Dirtnap's really... We got the neighbor cat that's in now that hangs out. Yeah, Dirtnap doesn't care about anything. I told you about the rat.
Yeah.
And just, like, hung out with the rat. So I think she's satiated. Her hunting days are not... Maybe for sport, but not for need.
Oh, Dirtnap.
But, yeah, so... All right,
good
man.
Times, buddy. Hey, let's do a quick comic of the week. Want to give a shout out to a friend of the show. I think we're both pals with this guy. Great success. News came out last week. Our buddy James Austin Johnson, newest cast member of Saturday Night Live. And... boy, I don't know if you saw the episode, but they just threw him right in the mix, and he was the star of the cold open. He's doing Joe Biden.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they got Sarah Squirm on there, too. Mm-hmm. Sarah Sherman, who was always doing this super weird, like, fun, gory, like, punk rock style stuff. So the fact that she's on there, too, I'm like... Man, I hope somebody goes in there and fucks it up instead of just coming back to L.A. Everybody that would get on Saturday Night Live would come back to L.A. and be like, how is it? And they're like, it's good. It's like somebody who started working for like a cult or something that like feels like they're being monitored.
Yeah.
And they can't say it's bad. Or they just know that it's a huge opportunity, but it's not a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot. It's all week to get to that Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so. But, I mean, it is cool when somebody gets it. But then I'm wondering, like, did you always want it or you wanted it what it was back in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah. Back in its heyday.
But I had no idea. Like, I saw that. I was like, fucking right on.
Yeah.
Hopefully it leads to larger things for those people is what I hope.
Yeah. James so damn funny. So
yeah,
funny story. I invited James to the wedding, and a few weeks ago, the deadline came and went, and I sent him a text. You know, hey man, I'm trying to rush you, just trying to get a head count, and didn't hear from him for a few days. So finally, I text him again. I was like, hey, man, not trying to be a dick, but does this mean no? Like, And then he immediately called me. He's like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. It's been a busy week. And I was like, yeah, and I'm thinking like, yeah, we're all busy, James, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to ghost you, man. And he's like, can you keep a secret? And the day I talked to him on the phone was the day he got word that he got hired. And he's like, I just got hired, but I'm moving next week to New York. I'm going to be on SNL. I'm like, no shit. And he goes, yeah, I'm so sorry. It's been a crazy few days. That's why I haven't been able to get back to you. I'm like, well, that's a fucking great excuse not to return a text.
That's how I remember it happening with Brooks when he got it. We were at like a Power Violence or something on Santa Monica Boulevard back when, you know, back before Whitmer had an HBO special and all that stuff. And he's like, dude, I just got a call. Tomorrow I'm going to audition for Saturday Night Live. I'm like, fucking really? He's like, yeah, I don't know. He's kind of sent a thing in. And then a month later, was like, I'm on Saturday Night Live. Like, it just happened. Yeah. It is weird to, like, know your friends. It's nice to know your friends from struggling, from, like, day jobs to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, dude. Brooks was in L.A., like, Brooks is from Iowa, so he kind of lumped in with the Iowa dudes that were already out there and the Midwest guys. Mm-hmm. He was working in Long Beach at a laboratory. Like, he's a scientist. Mm-hmm. Like, Brooks Whelan, like, handled eyeballs in a lab for experiments.
Yeah.
And would still be partying every night. They'd have to drive back to Long Beach and go handle eyeballs hungover.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was James and I used to tour together a lot, and we were both, you know, in this boat. But I remember James being so broke that he was like, dude, I just had to cancel my $7 Spotify. $7. He goes, I know that that's not going to make a difference, but it's just the principle. I can't have all these little monthly things if I can barely buy dinner.
Dude, I got to say, I go through my bills. Like, I should do it more often and be like, how much for this? Mm-hmm. Like, I can afford. It's not about affording it. It's about being like, wait a minute, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, Rachel, you're paying for Hulu? Because why am I paying for Hulu if you're paying for Hulu? I turned into an old man at the Verizon store today. I'm like, I got to buy another one of these goddamn special chargers because I got the new iPhone. I left the old one in a hotel, and his phone sucks anyway. I can see this 19-year-old working at Verizon does not give a shit about me. It's just putting up with an old guy complaining about things.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. This isn't your fault. You don't give a fuck.
James was with me when the van got totaled. We got hit head on by that drunk driver. James was with me on that tour when we just had a great show in Athens, Georgia, riding high. We had about a 20-minute drive back to the hotel and cresting a hill at like midnight and just boom, guy was right in our lane. Didn't even have time to dodge or anything. And boy, it was pretty gnarly. But yeah,
remember
James
that.
And I both that was a hell of a way. That was like the second show of like a 3-week tour. So that was good times. But yeah, well deserved. Congrats, James. Never, you know, all the new cast members. That other guy, Aristotle dude, fans of Silicon Valley will know that he's. I guess it was the final season. He played this weird character called Gabe, who had these like built-in. I don't know how to describe it. It was like these shin guards, but then. Two kickstands would pop out. It was like a portable chair, and like his little physical gag was the whole season. He'd be walking around, and then like he'd ask somebody to do something, and they'd go, "Yeah, I'll get right on that." And then he would just plop down his little portable chair right in front of him. So I forgot his last name, but Aristotle somebody, that guy. The third guy that got hired there this season. So yeah, good luck to all those folks.
Hopefully, it is a beneficial experience for all involved.
Yeah, no, I think James is. I mean. I don't know enough about the history of the show and stuff, but people on Twitter were talking about, like, that's the most airtime someone's ever gotten in their debut. You know, I guess the featured players is where they start you out at. They normally don't get that much airtime, especially on the first episode of the season.
Yeah.
They threw him into the mix, and he delivered. So, good luck, James.
Good for him. Yeah, I don't know. I do not know who is on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I can't keep up with that.
I know James Austin Johnson's on Saturday Night Live. That's what I know now.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Dude, where's our next shows? Where can people see you?
Dude, I'm starting at Oklahoma City on the 13th. Dallas on the 14th. Tickets looking pretty sad. Let's fucking go.
Come on, folks.
I felt good. Move up to theaters. Maybe I'll try and thumb my own dick up my ass. What a move. What a move that was. Yeah, no, I'm moving up to theaters.
Dream.
I can still sell the same amount of tickets. I just want to see what it looks like with the people spread out. It's not for me. It's for you. I want to give everybody room to really stretch out. That's why I moved up to theaters.
Nah, it's going to work out, buddy. Gonna have a lot of walk-up traffic.
But I got a bunch of dates. Bunch of dates coming up.
Dates. There you go, buddy.
That Sam Talent's gonna bury me through New England the week after that.
Oh, yeah?
I'm fucking scared, man. Come on, Sammy. I'm a fucking old man.
Take it easy, Sam. Sam's not easy to follow.
No, man. Just be a headliner, dude. Stop featuring. You're out. You ranked yourself out. There's nobody ranking people in comedy. I'm ranking Sam out of featuring.
Give him a promotion. Yeah. I got a few dates real quick. Next Tuesday, the 12th, I'll be in Reno at Coffee and Comics. 15th and 16th, I'll be in Seattle for four shows at Laughs Comedy Club.
That new room is a good setup up there.
Yeah, yeah. It's how long now? When you say new, is that the one that's it's been there a couple of years? It's not like within a few months.
Yeah, well, I hadn't been to it since it was in that strip mall in Kirkland. So now it's in Seattle proper.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I've been to. So, yeah, I like that little room. So, yeah, I'll be up there 15th and 16th. On the 19th, I'll be in Portland at Helium. And then on the 22nd, 23rd, I'll be in Eureka at Savage Henry Comedy Club. All those
good
tickets
are available at
dumbdumbstows.com. Yeah, I love Eureka, that area. So, yeah, that'll be a fun run. Go up and putz around your neck of the woods a little bit while you're out of town.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be there. Sorry to do that. What day's – wait, so you just said, what day's of Portland?
19th. Tuesday the 19th.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back around for that. Unforch.
It's all right, bud. Well, cool, buddy. Have fun back home. Tell the other Grand Marquis we're rooting for you guys. Give them hell Saturday night.
It's something. It's going to be something.
Where can we get tickets? Does the venue have a website?
I mean, I think you can get them at, go to Beat Kitchen. Otherwise, I think they're just at the door. I think this whole thing is old school. Buy them at the door.
There you go. You guys got merch?
No. We never had merch. We never had CDs.
No.
We didn't do anything right. Hmm. We would just practice and have fun and then do. We were actually annoyed when we'd have shows because we'd have to like load everything. We were the laziest band. Oh, fuck, we got shows. Oh, we got to pack all this stuff up. Like, it's more fun to just practice and hang out. Now we got to be there on time, set it all up, carry it out to the car. We did not want it. We said we wanted it. We did not want it.
Well, give them hell, dude. Rock and roll. That's exciting.
All right. We'll tell Katie to keep an eye out for them ghosts. Watch some more scary movies this week.
Hell yeah, dude.
All right.
All right, buddy. Have fun. We'll holler at you next week.
The Boogie Monster.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.